Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 2. The chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. This is text number 15. Kechit kanitra bidbudu Saita prakara goparan Ajivyam chitidur vrikshan Kechit parasu panayaha Pradahan saranan yeke Prajanam dvalito mukai. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls, and the gates, gopurams, of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produce mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. Purport's quite short. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit trees are prominent. In other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is a Shastric injunction. End of purport. Om. So this is a continuation of the activities of the demons as being described here in this particular section of the Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu's rampage of trying to find some type of outlet for his anger and by causing havoc within society. We're hearing from the previous verses how he sent his demon associates to ravage cities, villages, pasturing grounds, so many things. This verse seems to be dedicated to trees and how they focused on trees. Here Prabhupada mentions how trees, especially trees that produce wonderful fruit, as mango, and jackfruit, and other trees, are very auspicious and very much appreciated by people within human society for development of natural environment and for happiness and nourishment. And Prabhupada goes on to say that these trees are important and under no conditions should they be cut down at all. Says Prabhupada gives that strong statement backed up by Shastric evidence that it's also mentioned in the scriptures that one of the elements of pious activities that can be done by people in within society is to give society nice fruit trees. Mm-hmm. Say if you plant nice fruit trees, you're actually doing welfare, real welfare work for society, as opposed to now what is considered to be welfare work is providing some financial remuneration for people's impoverished conditions, which really doesn't bring about any real change in the society. It just contributes to people's sense gratification. So trees are given very much prominence within a society that is aesthetic, has value, has culture, and of course is on a progressive path. But demons, they have no understanding. Krishna explains the qualities of the demons in the 16th chapter, and that there's no truth found them, they're not clean, they follow no rules and regulations, always harsh, always full of desires for sense gratification, especially sex life, and very violent by nature. Two class of persons, the devotees and the demons. And it's mentioned throughout the scriptures, and Prabhupada emphasizes how society has been somewhat overrun by demons, even today. Of course, we cannot compare to the demons today to the demons years ago. As the quality of society was much more developed, also the quality of negativity was also more powerful, in the sense that the demons actually were very, very powerful by nature in terms of their material understanding and their physical strength and their ability to cause destruction to others. Nowadays we have the little demons running around with suits and ties and making policies in order to create more war through economic development. That's today's modern demon, right? Nowadays you can't tell who's a demon, who's a devotee. Once in a while you meet an actual or a full-fledged demon. I remember, and we were performing Harinam in, New Orleans. You remember that place, New Orleans? It was just recently had a little bit of extra water. Got slightly drowned. Most of the city was destroyed, still destroyed. I was just in New Orleans a few weeks ago. You can see all the buildings are still half standing, water damages, residential areas are completely evacuated, half the city is destroyed. It was by flooding, by water, hurricanes, cyclones. And that place has never been a very important place for, we say, aesthetic value. It's always been an area of a lot of sinful activities. But devotees there are there. There's a temple there. And I remember one time we were doing Harinam in one place, in a place is called the French Quarter. It's a place that there's a lot of, what we say, sense gratification there. It's bars, nightclubs, all kinds of illicit activities going on, full-fledged. It's like a concentration of sinful life, full-blown. We were doing Harinam there one day. The devotees go there, distribute books, and do Harinam. Devotees are very compassionate by nature, so they always go to the most fallen places. And as we were passing one shop, one person became so upset, disturbed, and angry. At the top of their voice, they were screaming and in pain and agony, crying to the devotee, "Stop chanting." I mean, it was really like, it was like somebody was strangling this person. It was like the holy name was the worst thing that could possibly happen to that person. Then I realized, here's a real demon. Here's a real demon, that the sound of the holy name causes such disturbance. And then we kept going around. The devotees, of course, are not affected by such things. We just kept going around the same area. And every time we would pass by that shop, that person would come out and scream. So I got a chance to experience what is demoniac nature in its full. So demons are, they're small in this age. Here Prabhupada explains, the importance of trees. And tree is very much glorified within our shastras, within our culture, within society. And from a spiritual point of view, a tree is given the prominence of a quality that devotees must practice very carefully, and that is the quality of tolerance, quality of tolerance. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explains this quality as one of the most important qualities. And he compares it, he could have compared it to anything within creation, but he compares it to a tree. A tree. Now the tree, it's a living entity. Has very little perception of external environment, as explained, because it's covered by this body of a tree, but there's a soul there. But that tree has a tendency to be very, very tolerant. And Lord Chaitanya explains how one should practice Krishna consciousness in a way that is more tolerant than the tree. And then using various descriptions of tolerance, he explains that tolerance of a tree is that the tree gives so much, gives its fruits to others, gives shade to those who need it, gives flowers, nice, beautiful. And here it's described how important a tree is for providing an aesthetic value and nourishment to society. Give so much. Trees are very beautiful. But sometimes people come along and cut down the tree. But the tree doesn't protest. It stands in the hot summer. In America, there's one area of the country in the Midwest where it gets very, very cold. It's in the area of Colorado. The winters can be exquisitely freezing cold. I was there last December, and I said, I'll never be there again in December. That's why I'm here. It was so cold, and they get tremendous snowstorms. The whole city, I remember I was there last year, the whole city stopped. They had a snowstorm. The whole city stopped. And Denver's a huge city. There's millions of people. All the planes stopped flying. All the stores were closed. All the schools were closed. The only thing that was going on was the ski resorts, because everyone likes to go skiing there. It's so cold. But there's some trees in Denver, in that area of the country, where they're little thin trees. And they're in clusters. They grow in little small patches. And you could see, I've seen this, and the others have pointed out to me, that when it gets cold, the trees come closer to each other. And they kind of wrap their branches around each other somehow to weather and withstand the cold. So there's a soul there reacting to the extremes of the external environment. They're thin trees, and it's amazing to see that, how when it gets that cold, they actually move closer. So, trees are very, very tolerant. But Lord Chaitanya, given his deep understanding of what it means to practice spirituality, especially in the age of Kali, one has to become more tolerant than the tree. And tolerance can be understood in various ways. Krishna explains in Gita what is tolerance. Marta sparsa tukantaya sitnusna sukadukata agapayino nityastam sitikshava bharata. And that this is the tolerance that one has to weather from day-to-day life in contact with the external energy. The difficulties that come by way of associating with the material energy. Happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, the various dualities that attack the living entity constantly. Adi Atmika, Adi Daivika. The tolerance that comes by way of just living in this material world. One has to tolerate so much. And still, practice Krishna consciousness. It's very difficult, very difficult. And the tolerance that comes by way of attracting to sense gratification. Sometimes we are in contact with things that attract our minds and senses. One has to be tolerant to that. One has to somehow or other avoid those things that are contrary to our spiritual development, which may seem pleasing to the mind and to the senses, but at the same time are detrimental to one's spiritual development. So that's a type of tolerance that comes by way of associating with the material energy, associating with other living entities. But there's another type of tolerance that is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, and that is the tolerance that comes by way of purification of the heart, and that is given directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order for one's, what we say, pure advancement on the path of devotional service. That famous verse, which all devotees should memorize and go deep and understand. Tate nukampam shushimikshamanam pujaneva kritam vipakam ridva vahupir vidadanam aste jivete yo mukti padesha dayabak. This is the tolerance that comes by way of the practice of devotional service, where Krishna gives some difficulty in order to bring about a higher level of purification in one's practice of devotional service. It's different than the day-to-day tolerance that we have to experience in contact with the external energy. It's coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His internal energy in order to bring the devotee to a higher state of Krishna consciousness. And the verse explains that one may experience suffering and difficulty in the practice of one's Krishna consciousness. But that suffering and difficulty actually is seen by a devotee who has the proper understanding as the mercy of the Lord. And not only is it seen as the mercy of the Lord, but the devotee is happy to receive this type of purification. Why? Because ultimately he understands that due to my sinful nature, or due to my association with material energy, I have become so much attached to the temporary things of this world that Krishna has given me just a small token of the difficulties that I deserve. And it says that one who understands this and thanks the Lord and prays within the core of their heart for these difficulties that come by way of our purification in Krishna consciousness, then mukti padesha dayabak, that the kingdom of God becomes one's rightful inheritance. One actually can come to the stage of actually entering into the kingdom of God through the mercy of the Lord by accepting whatever comes by way of devotional service. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Because in the practice of our Krishna consciousness, sometimes we have, not sometimes, many times we have a conception of how it should happen. We have a conception. Of course, there's principles, rules and regulations and ways to execute devotional service. But how our purification may come is very difficult and hard to understand. We like to have purification come in a nice, easy, simple, natural way that is conducive to our understanding of how it should come. But it doesn't always come like that. And therefore this verse explains that difficulties or purifications are seen actually as the mercy of the Lord, and the devotee thanks the Lord. And then what is the result? And then one can practice Krishna consciousness happily and nicely. Because this material world is a contaminated place. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says, when you go into a hospital, you can expect that, you know, everyone in the hospital is diseased. And of course, if you're there, you also have some kind of ailment. So everyone in the material world is sick, and the atmosphere is polluted. I remember in 1975, Prabhupada was giving this morning walk conversation, famous morning walk conversation. He was describing the up-and-coming disasters that may fall upon human society. And then he was talking a lot in a political way, how there will be, in the future, there will be a major war. And then the devotees were responding, yes, if the war happens, it'll be a nuclear war. And if it's a nuclear war, it'll be so devastating that practically no life will be left. And then one very senior devotee said, "Yes, Prabhupada, yeah, but you know, how will we live here? How will things go on after? Prabhupada says, "No one can live here. This is it's a polluted place. It's contaminated. Even if it's polluted by nuclear reactive energy, it's already polluted simply by the three modes of material nature, which is foreign to the living entity's natural spiritual constitution. This place is a contaminated place. As soon as we come in contact with the material energy, there's a form of contamination described in relationship to the association of that energy. The contamination that comes by way of the mode of goodness, the contamination that comes by the way of the mode of passion and ignorance. They're all forms of contamination over the natural, pure soul who has a natural loving propensity for the Supreme Lord, uninterrupted and without any motivation. That's the nature of the soul. So this whole material energy is polluted. So Prabhupada was explaining, you can't live here anyway, so why try? You know, just execute your devotional service the best of your ability, perfect your life, and go back home, back to Godhead. Why try to make a nice arrangement in order to stay here? And because the devotees were saying, yeah, it would be very difficult to live here. Prabhupada said, whether you die now or whether you die 20 years from now, what's the difference? He says, you have to die anyway. So death is inevitable. But that's not the problem. The problem is to become Krishna conscious before we leave this body. That's the only concern. Not how long we have to stay in this material world. We see even Srila Prabhupada makes the emphasis on how, you know, many great souls only stayed here. How many years? Prabhupada uses one purport. He explains, Jesus Christ stayed 33 years, Shankaracharya 34 years, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 48 years, and there's one great saint in the Christian tradition whose life was really an inspiration for me. Her name was Saint Teresa of Lisieux, a French and she lived for 23 years and perfected her life in devotion to Lord Jesus Christ. She was on a very high platform of devotion. So the quality of life is not how long you stay here. We were hearing from Radhanath Maharaj. He was describing in his recent travels to America how he came to the Sequoia Forest, talking about the trees there. Some of the trees were there for 2,800 years. Some trees were there more than 3,000 years. And they're standing there for thousands and thousands of years. But Prabhupada writes in other places in reference to the long life of the tree, what is the value of that? What is the value of that? So therefore, what is the conclusion? That quality should be emphasized over quality, quantity. Every moment is valuable in spiritual life. The tendency sometimes is to think in terms of later, or when situations get better, or when there's a better arrangement for my practice of Krishna consciousness. But there's no better arrangement. The arrangement is always now, because we live within the consciousness of now. We may plan for the future, but ultimately we have to be Krishna conscious now. As they say, whatever you are now, that's what will happen within the future. Sometimes we see people, especially those who may have some material success, they start thinking that, yes, I know, but later on I'll become Krishna conscious when I get through all this other responsibilities in life. But that's an illusion, because now is the time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the statement in one of his beautiful poems. Forget the past that sleeps. ne'er the future, dream at all. Act in times that are with thee, and progress ye shall call. One of his beautiful poems, he writes this beautiful couplet and describes that the past is just an illusion. It's gone. One cannot reenact the past. Sometimes we lament about what we did in the past or what we didn't do in the past. Both. Sometimes we see the past as some kind of, you know, we want almost like want to go back into it and try it again and do it over again so we, you know, somehow correct those mistakes that we shouldn't have made or acted in a different way that would have brought about greater success. But you can't. You can learn from the past. You can learn a lot from the past. In fact, you can learn a tremendous amount from the past. And we study the past in order to learn from the past so we don't make the same mistakes in the future and to act properly. And the future, what is it? It's a culmination of the combination of the past and the present that acts and brings about the results in the future. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakura's emphasis is now. Now is the time for Krishna consciousness. It's always now. It's never any other time but now, right? You can only live in the now. You can't live in the past or in the future. Of course, we act in such a way that we may make plans for practice of Krishna consciousness in the future. It's like we build temples or we go out and distribute books hoping that people will come and to our temples and become Krishna conscious. So we're planting seeds for the future, but ultimately everything happens within the past, that is, in the present, that is the essential part. So this is the proper understanding of how to act in Krishna consciousness. And this principle of tolerance is, when we say, supreme amongst the qualities that is necessary to practice devotional service, and especially in Kali Yuga. I was thinking, yes, I'm coming to Chaupati, and it's so nice there. The devotees are so nice, and everything is so nice, and everything. It's like the spiritual world. It is. But then again, there's so many honking of the car horns, beep, beep, honk, honk, construction, all kinds of things going on. Yeah, sometimes you can hear it all going throughout the whole night. Bombay used to never be so wild and crazy. More activities in the external environment. And one devotee was just telling me the other day, he was telling me about the future of Bombay, how it's going to develop. It was Krishna Nam. He was explaining how they're manufacturing a car now that will cost 1 lakh of rupees. That's all. And everyone will have it. Can you imagine how many cars on the road there will be? So every rickshaw driver will have a car now. Hare Krishna. Anyway, Prabhupada said, don't stay around. And finish your business now. Kali Yuga is getting worse. And so there's so much more in today's society that comes by way of the frantic pace of trying to enjoy sense gratification that forces the devotees to become more and more tolerant. But tolerance can be taken to a higher level that see that this tolerance is actually an opportunity to take shelter. This is the important thing. When we're put in a difficult situation, when we're forced to tolerate, then it's an opportunity to take shelter deeper. We may even be taking shelter at that time, but it's a chance to go deeper into that shelter. As Prabhupada explains, that Krishna consciousness is like an unlimited ocean. He says you can swim in an ocean, but you can never reach the end of the ocean, nor can you understand the depth of the ocean. This is Krishna consciousness. So even if we are tolerant, we can become more tolerant. Even if we are developing the qualities, we can even go deeper into every aspect of the qualities that are necessary to practice devotional life. Especially the ones given by Lord Chaitanya in the third verse of the Shikshastika prayers. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respect for others. I was just reading a statement by Srila Prabhupada. He says that a devotee is always kind and considerate to others in all circumstances, even if he's in a difficult situation himself. Sometimes if we're having troubles, or we're sick, or we're having problems, and then the level of tolerance goes down, and we have to deal with more difficulty. The difficulty that we normally deal with when we're in a difficult situation ourselves, for some reason, becomes even more difficult to deal with. Yeah? Prabhupada said, never mind. We don't lose. We're not supposed to lose our good qualities even in difficult situations. In fact, it's an opportunity to go even deeper into those situations. So, like a tree. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't say, become tolerant like a tree. He says, become tolerant, become more tolerant than a tree. So how can we understand what it means to be more tolerant than a tree? It means that tolerance is unlimited. We see the example of Srila Haridas Thakur. He was being beaten in how many? 22 marketplaces. Why? Simply because he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. He was doing welfare work for the entire society, but society could not appreciate, at least a certain sector of society, that was the ruling king at the time, could not appreciate that. In order to, you know, to correct Haridas, supposedly, from his deviation in his tradition of practicing his birth religion, they tried to stop him from chanting Hare Krishna. But he wouldn't. He tolerated all their criticisms, and he tolerated their punishment, so much so that he actually didn't take offense when he was punished. So much so that when they were beating him in each of the marketplaces, he was simply praying for their deliverance. That's tolerance. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't try to imitate the tolerance of Haridas Thakur. He says, one cannot practice or put oneself artificially in that situation. But we see the example of the great souls that they're still giving, at the same time they may not be appreciated. This is what it means to become a devotee in Kali Yuga. That people a lot of times will not appreciate, even others who are also maybe practicing devotional service may not appreciate, but still a devotee always remains kind and magnanimous and concerned about others in the practice of Krishna consciousness. And for the oneself, he knows, she knows, that whatever happens in the execution of my devotional service, it's good. And it has a reason, and it's meant for my purification. It's meant for my upliftment. Sometimes we cannot understand that. I remember I was in one situation where I felt I was unduly criticized. But then when I thought deeper about the nature of the criticism and how the criticism come, I thought actually Krishna was teaching me something that I didn't see in the beginning. I don't want to get into the details of it too much because it's not really important. But the point is that we all experience situations where we may not understand why things are happening in the way they do. But for a devotee, he's under the influence of the external energy. Internal energy. For ones who's engaged in devotional service, one is under the influence of the internal energy. Daivi Shakti, Daivi Prakriti. And under the influence of the internal energy, that is the direct hand of the Lord. So Krishna is giving by way of our activities in devotional service. Whatever purification or whatever lesson that we need to learn in the practice of our devotional service. We say Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna's mercy as long as we're following the process. As long as we're at least trying our best to follow the process. It's always Krishna's mercy. Even if we're not following the process, what happens to us is that we may be kicked in such a way as to get us to follow the process. And that's also mercy. That's also a form of mercy, to bring one back to the standard of practicing Krishna consciousness. So this principle of tolerance remains very much foremost in the life of a devotee. And then after, actually, as we practice Krishna consciousness, then what became some of the source of our, in other words, when we were simply had to tolerate certain circumstances, no longer becomes just a feature of tolerance. We actually see it as good. Then, of course, Krishna will give you something else in order to help you go deeper into taking shelter. It's not tolerance for the sake of tolerance. It's tolerance for the understanding of how to make progress in our spiritual life. Okay, so perhaps I'll stop here. Are there any? Yes. Yeah, it's 10th canto, 14th chapter, and I believe it's verse number 8. Tate nu kampa shushimikshamanam punjadvegva kripa pipakam ridva vahupir viradanam aste vijivetiyo mukti padesha dayapak. I'm pretty much sure it's 10:14:8. Anyone else? Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.